The title of today's sermon is The Most Important Thing in Life. It rises out of Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Allow me to read that text. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said teacher. The man replied, "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Well, as we hear this exchange, we are reminded that the more important Jesus became as a teacher, the more he became a target for those who were threatened by him. Therefore, they sought to discredit him and hopefully have him arrested for false teaching. And on this occasion, the Jewish leaders sent one of their best after him, a skilled scribe and teacher of the law. His life was all about the law of God and interpreting the law of God. Now be aware that the scribes, as a group, developed an ever-expanding legal casebook. They put together 613 additional commandments explaining the commandments of God, and hundreds more minute applications of these commandments, analyzing, categorizing, prioritizing, answering the question, how can we break down God's laws to help people apply them to daily living? This is the kind of question that occupied the scribes in their debates and discussions. And out of those debates, they now bring to Jesus this question: of all the commandments, which is the most important? I believe they brought it to him to watch him squirm. They were asking, of all of the hundreds of laws and laws about laws, which is the most important? Well, it's a great question. And it's a great question even for us. A question for us would be along the same lines: what is the most important thing in life? How would we answer that question? Well, Jesus answers, to love. To love, we might respond, we know about love. We talk about love. We sing about love. We make movies about love. Challenge us with the tough stuff, the real demanding core of Christianity, something more than just the love we've heard about all of our lives. Well, Jesus would say, this is the tough stuff. Love will demand everything, and at times will be frightening. It will demand that you come out from hiding and really live. And without love, the rest of living means nothing. It is the most significant thing. I thought back to a wedding I performed in Hollywood a number of years ago. It was for a young woman in our church who also happened to be an actress, a performer on the stage. And she was part of a company that was putting on the musical Rent. Well, it seemed like the whole cast was a part of her wedding. And it was fun to watch them participate. They didn't just walk down the aisle as a wedding party. They seemed to strut with style as they came down. They didn't sing. They filled that sanctuary with amazing talent. Their presence made it quite an event. I remember as a part of the ceremony when one of the cast members and friends of the bride read the scripture for that wedding ceremony. And 1 Corinthians 13, that wonderful love chapter, was chosen to be read. Apparently, she who was to read was given that text just right before the ceremony, and so for her, it was just a cold read. But for actors and actresses, I guess that's not much of a challenge. And so she began to read 1 Corinthians 13. And as she read, she became more and more captured by the text. She started, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." And she went on, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, nor is it self-seeking." And it was about there that she stopped the reading and looked at the audience in front of her and said, "Wow, this is amazing stuff." Well, the truth about true love is amazing, and it is demanding. It calls us to be more than we can be all on our own. And it walks us into tricky and sometimes dangerous territory. C.S. Lewis, out of his book, The Four Loves, says this: "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up in a casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, and it will change. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." Well, capturing the idea of love, the truth of love, requires all of us, all of our thinking and all of our heart. The scribe was responding to Christ as he made his statement, and he agreed with Christ. He agreed in this passage that love, loving our neighbor as ourselves and loving God, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. In some senses, he was making a pretty dangerous statement, being a scribe, because all his colleagues were deep into their rituals and sacrifices, their style of worship. And so now he was saying, we need to love. Love God with all of our being and love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, as we get into this passage, there are several crucial lessons that rise out, great statements that come to us. And there is one that isn't specifically pointed out, but is necessary as a door to these lessons to emphasize. The first part of the lesson I want to give you is that we are to receive the love of God. Before anything else, we're to receive the love of God. Before we can love, the scripture tells us, and I believe, that we must allow ourselves to be loved by God first of all. The Bible tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. His love is prerequisite to our loving. How did He love us? Well, He reached down to us in the person of Christ. He loved us in Christ, gave His message of love in Christ, and had Him go to the cross as the greatest statement of love in history. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross as punishment for our sins was the greatest I love you statement that we could possibly hear. And in response to that I love you, the Lord waits for us to love Him in return. But first of all, the only powerful move in our heart to love God is to understand that He loved us first. Karl Barth, the famous theologian, was speaking at a university chapel. It was 1962 when he gave a wonderful address, and as he often did at universities, he took some time after his speech to take questions from the audience. And one of the students there simply said, "Would you summarize your whole life's theology in one sentence?" And Bart, as the story is told, stopped for a moment and then said, "Yes, I can." And he said the words that he had been taught by his mother as a child, from a song that they had sung together. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The greatest truth in Bart's theology, according to that day, was that Jesus loved him. That theology started, faith started, truth started in a relationship with God, when we believed and received the love of God. We're called to open up our heart to God and to God's love so that He can break open our hearts to the idea of loving Him in return and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Before I stand before you each Sunday morning, I pray for you. I pray for you on other days as well, but specifically what I pray before I preach on Sunday morning is that my presentation, that in my preaching, you would encounter the love of God. And that in my preaching, you would encounter the truth of God. And that in my preaching, you would encounter the transforming power of God. Not because I preach, but because what I seek to give is God's truth. So, receiving the love of God initiates everything, as far as I'm concerned. And if we receive the love of God as the first thought in this message, then we are called by this passage and in this message to return love to God. That He loved us, we're to love Him in return. That's what He's waiting for as He makes a statement of love. And that's what keeps our worship experiences here from becoming empty ritual. And the scribe even makes that point. He says, love is far more important than sacrifices and rituals and traditions. Love is more important than our liturgies and our order of service. If we didn't have love in our gatherings, if we did not raise love for God up in our worship, then what would be happening would be simply empty noise. Because God's heart wants our heart to be responding to Him. And if loving God is most important commandment, then God's most important question is simply, do you love me? He asks us through Scripture and by His sacrifice, do you love me? He says, I love you to us, and then waits for us to respond to the question, do you love me? That was the question that the Apostle Peter encountered. You know about his life. You've studied it in Scripture. You know that he was a man who loudly proclaimed his loyalty to Christ and his commitment to follow him, no matter where he was led. And then, when the difficulty came and Christ was arrested and taken into custody, waiting to be punished and crucified. When Peter was asked if he knew Christ, he said no. He said no 3 times. He denied Christ 3 times. After the third time, he looked up into a balcony area from where he was standing in the courtyard and he saw Christ. And Christ was looking at him. And Peter knew he knew. And he went away into the darkness weeping. The next significant encounter he had with Christ was after Christ's resurrection. And you'll remember the story of Christ coming to the seashore where the disciples were fishing, and they spotted him on shore and recognized him and came bringing the boat toward him. Peter couldn't wait for the boat to get there because it was slowed down by the dragging of the nets of fish, and so he just jumped in and swam to Christ. Well, there he had an important encounter. He'd been living with guilt and shame for the way he denied him, and the Lord looked at him. And I imagine he had a hard time looking back, although he was eager to get this thing right, to get this churning and darkness in his spirit right. And the Lord simply looked at him and asked him, do you truly love me? Do you love me, Simon, more than these? And Peter replied, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then a second time, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the Bible says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, it's almost as if the three I love yous went deeper and deeper into Peter's soul, cleansing the three denials that he had made, the denials of knowing Christ. No, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And it allowed Peter to be cleansed, to once again return love to God, to his Lord. And in the process of having his heart cleansed and his spirit renewed, as you know, Peter became the most powerful preacher of the early church. His life was given back to him by the Lord. He returned to loving God. So we also are called in the same fashion. We're to receive the love of God, we're to return love to God. And then I suggest to you that we are being taught here to reveal our God-shaped love to others. We're to reveal our God-shaped love to others. That's kind of what was being said to Peter at that point of encounter with Christ on the seashore. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. The way to express love to God is to express love to others. And that's what Peter was called to do. Love is the greatest spiritual sign that God's love is in our life. Loving others is the greatest sign of God's presence in our life. If we say we love God, according to 1 John, but do not love others, we're lying. Because if we love God, we would love others. It's a natural outcome of our love of God. It is a result of having a love relationship with God. That's what Peter learned. And that's what we learn. You know, love is the thing that answers life's most formative questions. I think back to one of my favorite experiences in being a pastor of a church. And that is that during some worship services, I had the privilege of baptizing infants. The congregation had the privilege of receiving the infant into their care. And my practice was to take the child into my arms to be baptized. And then I would walk down the steps from the chancel and up the center aisle so that the people could see closely the child that was being baptized. And while in the midst of them, I would ask the congregation to make the promise of extending love and care and guidance to this child at whatever opportunity was given to them. I wanted this formative question of life to be answered from the very beginning of life. I think that small children are a living question that says, will I be loved? And I wanted the congregation to say yes. Over and over again, as the child grew up in the middle of them, I wanted that answer to be yes. Not only are you going to be loved by your parents, but you're going to be loved by this church family. And you know, we, even in our adulthood, have some form of that question that resides in us as well. We still ask, will I be loved by this person? We still wonder, am I going to be loved by this group? Am I going to be loved? And the answer to the question, will I be loved, will determine what kind of a person we become, how we live this life. Loved people live differently. Loved people act differently. Loved people love differently. And so we in the church family are to respond, yes, you will be loved by us. Yes, you will be loved. The scribe was getting to that truth as he responded to Christ. He was saying to Christ, I agree with you that the most important thing that we ought to do is to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said, you're getting awfully close to the kingdom with what you are saying. If we, in our congregation, also say yes to loving God with all of our being, then we automatically say yes to loving each other as ourselves, because that's where God leads us. So especially during these days when we feel the challenge of the health threats in our country and the world, when we fear a virus that is attacking our society. It is a most important time to love each other as ourselves. It's to stay in touch with each other, to be in communication with each other, whether by email or text or telephone, or to ask if everybody's okay, to call people and make sure they have what they need, to be thankful for the love of God and His care that is a great answer to the fear that might overtake us otherwise. To allow God to love us and to love Him in return. And then, as an overflow of all of that, to love each other. To love each other. Holy God, I pray that as much as we know about love, You will teach us even more. As deep as our love might be, may You take it deeper. Father, may we allow You to come into our hearts in a fresh new way and expand our hearts into a grand place of love that we can share with others. And Father, for those times when we deliver our love into scary places and where we depend on Your love when we feel threatened by other things, may You pour into our hearts Your care. May You pour into our hearts Your strength. May You pour into our hearts new faith, so that we walk with confidence and with love during these days. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.